Fingers will recover. I've tried that before, Brother Tony, playing the guitar, and not only did the fingers hurt, but my hand hurts keeping it closed that long. I can just try to pressure wash the card on the outside, and by the time I'm done, my hand is just throbbing right there. So kudos to you for doing what you did. We sure thank you for your service. Let our musician be seated if they'd like to. We want to go right into the Word of God this morning. We want to go to Psalms 106. We're going to go to verses 1 through 25, and she'll have the scriptures on the multimedia. Here, I'll give everybody an opportunity to pull it up in your Bible, if you'd like to. You don't have to. It's good to be a Christian. Amen? Amen. I wish everybody could be here to get together, but, you know, the weather comes, and I remember Brother Ben talked about how that when the saints would have to push through the snow to try to get to the surface. He said it's that much more of a blessing for the people. So, I believe that. And Sister Hannah, I want to say you sure did an awesome job singing that song. Amen. My goodness. Yes. I will take that over any famous singer any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
That's right.
We sure appreciate it. You sing it from your heart, and it sounds good too. So, praise the Lord. Let's go right into the Word this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt, they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so that he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. But look at the scripture. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham, and the terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them that had not Moses, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Brother Brim said that's where he was taking part of Christ for them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy today, Lord. I ask you, Father, to help me to bring forth out of these scriptures the things that you want us to see, Lord. We love you. We thank you. I ask you to touch every heart that's here, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. There are no words to express how wonderful it is to be free. And what we want to speak to you on this morning is, have faith to claim your own. Have faith to claim your own. A person can never truly know or appreciate freedom unless they've experienced being bound. And God has countless times freed His people only for them to bring themselves back into bondage. And the Word of God is given to us as a guide, and these are given to us for example, the Scriptures that we've just written. And we want to read just two more Scriptures, and she'll pull them up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And one of the scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, and charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." I think that's very important, don't you? Very important that we will meditate upon the Word, because what happens many times is people will get free from the bondage they're in, but because they don't give heed to the attendance of the Word of God as counsel, they are back right in bondage before again. But usually it's not the same bondage, it's worse. The bondage is worse than it was the time before.
Right.
When we're talking about the children of Israel, that they were slaves and they were whipped, they were forced to serve the Egyptians in the mud pits. Men would see their wives and their daughters taken right before them, and there wasn't anything that they could do about it. They were powerless before Egypt. There have been many times when we are powerless before the trial that we're under, and no matter how hard that we try to make things better, it feels like it just gets worse. Anybody ever felt that way?
Right.
Kind of reminds me of a spider web. I remember when I was a little boy, we used to take this spider web and we'd go up and we'd catch grasshoppers. If we weren't fishing, if they weren't biting, we would go find a spider web. We'd throw that thing. God forgive me, I did it. That's just the honest truth. Brother Brandon had talked about things he did. This is one of the things I did. I would take that grasshopper and throw him into the spider web. And that poor little guy would get stuck. And the more he would try to get free, the more bound he would get. And I remember when the Lord revealed it to me, and I felt like, and I really believe it was the Lord led me, because I felt so condemned, convicted, I guess you could say, for what I had done. Because I seen, one time I took that grasshopper, I threw him in the spider web, and it's like I could see his eyes. They were looking at me. And I remember it paused me, and just like I just threw it, and I started like, ha ha, and I was like, and I was mesmerized for just a moment. And I looked at it, and it's like he looked at me and said, "You did this to me." And I watched him as he would try to get loose. And the more he would try to get loose, the more bound he would get. And this spider come down really quick, and he could tie them up just like that. I mean, he goes down, he could spin that thing up. And he would go up to the net, and he would go down. And that little grasshopper would lay there dangling. Every time that wind would blow, that grasshopper would go just like that. And he would be looking right at that spider. And then part of me felt like he was looking right at me, because I'm the one that threw him in there. And what that spider would do, I felt so terrible about it.
It's honest truth.
I felt so terrible about it because I seen what that spider would do. That spider would come down and visit him many times. He would come down and draw out just a little bit of life out of him, and he'd go right back up to the corner, and that little grasshopper was absolutely paralyzed. There wasn't a thing he could do. He was swinging in that net just like that, and that spider would come down and visit him over again. And how I was reminded, and I did that to him. And from today's standpoint, I can look back and say, that's exactly the way the devil does it. You'll get bound inside of a spider web on something, and the more you try to get free, you can't get free. And what will happen is he'll wrap you up to where you are absolutely paralyzed. And there ain't nothing you can do. And that devil comes in and visits you as many times as he wants to. He'll come down there and suck the life right out of you, and he'll go again. And he'll come back and suck the life out of you and go again, and there ain't a thing you can do about it. You can try, you can talk, you can sing, you can shout, you can do all these things, but he comes right back, and you are absolutely bound. And I remember from that day forth, I have never done that ever again. I've never. I felt so terrible, and I won't even tell you what I did to the spider. It was pretty graphic. I took care of him, and the grasshopper died, but the spider did too. I guess you got to get the picture, Brother Ben. Well, I got a little bit of vengeance for him. But you know, that's the way the devil will do, is he will paralyze you. He likes to paralyze the believer to where you can't move anymore, and you have to take whatever he dishes out. That spider could literally do whatever he wanted to that grasshopper, and there wasn't a thing he could do about it. My goodness. I imagine that little spider, or that little grasshopper, as he was laying there on the spider web, I imagine that he was thinking about all the times of all the flowers he used to jump on. I imagine he was thinking about drinking the dew off of the grass early in the morning as he was sitting on a blade of grass and watching the sunrise. I can imagine that little grasshopper, as he was laying in the spider web, he was thinking, there was a time when I was free. There was a time when I could jump around and I could be exactly what I wanted to be. But that's what bondage does to a person. And bondage is a terrible thing. The children of Israel, they were bound and they needed deliverance because they could not free themselves. I can imagine they didn't cry out to God at first because people are stubborn. You say amen? I imagine they would go a few days and they would think to themselves, you know what, this is going to pass. We're in this bondage of Egypt, but you know, a few days, we'll be fine. I'm tough. Because that's the way man still thinks today. A man has a tendency to try to deliver himself. And we fail utterly. But this was something that would not go away. Day after day, night after night, I imagine the slaves under the bondage of Egypt, they would begin to feel the depths of bondage, and it became more of a clear reality. I'm bound, and there ain't a thing I can do about this. Many times, man does not realize how serious of a condition that he's in. I want you to listen to this. Many times, a person does not understand how serious of a condition that they're in. A lot of times, they'll think this is a small thing. It's not a big deal. And a good example I can put at that is, when a young boy or a young girl have consummation and they have a baby that's coming forth. And it's kind of scary at first, and they can kind of laugh at first. It's because they do not have the brisk reality that their life has changed forever.
That's right.
They can laugh, they can smile, they can giggle. You can do that all you want to, because your days are coming ahead when you got to take care of this baby now. But a lot of times in today's world, they just give it to grandma and grandpa, and grandma and grandpa raise the babies. Can't tell you, and that's the sad truth, but that's honestly how the world has gotten today. Because the reason is, it's come to an age where the women don't want to be a mother anymore, and the men don't want to be a father anymore. And they feel like they can live their life, live their party life. I can remember one time I was over close to the hospital, I was visiting somebody, I can't remember who it was, but I heard on the radio, it was a discussion on AFR about a woman that was going to have an abortion late term. I'm talking the baby was fixing to be born. And what happened was, they told her, you're not going to be able to have this baby natural. You're going to have a C-section. And she did not want her body to be deformed. So she said, I refuse to have this baby. And she wanted the baby taken care of. That's absolute murder. And I don't care if that goes over the internet. I don't care who hears. I will tell you, that is murder. And you will be held accountable for that one day. Whoever, if someone hears that, that's, you take that right from the Lord. I'm telling you. I don't have any patience for that. But I remember seeing that, and it struck me very hard in my heart to hear that this woman thought more of her own body than what she about this poor little baby. Because, see, that's the thing. A mother will take form. Whenever she has a child, her body will take form of that. And you can tell this woman is a mother. Because not just her natural figure, because she'll have natural scars that take place, but there's something about her thinking, the way she acts, the way she conducts herself. If she's a real mother, she'll conduct herself like that, and she'll begin to look like that. And I'm telling you, that's the same thing with the church today. The church does not want to be a mother, so to speak.
Right.
The church does not want to produce, because they will take shape of being a mother whenever you're producing. Because your thinking will become like a mother when you're in this way. Because a woman tops the church. And the churches today do not want to be a mother. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? They don't want a birth. They do not want a birth. The only birth they want is to form their church and what their church is. But we are supposed to form who the Word is. And if you have the Word, you're going to reproduce life. And you will take the form of being a mother. Because you will bear children. That's right. When you go to the church, but don't get me started on that. I'll get myself in trouble. The world has and the world churches has come to a point where they don't want to be a mother, and the women do not want to be a mother anymore. The men don't want. I'll tell you, young people in the service, I'll just tell you, I'm daddy, but you look past daddy and listen to your minister. I tell you what, you want a good woman, and you want to have a good woman to come towards you. Let me show you something. You show character of the Word of God. Because I'm telling you right now, somewhere, someday, there's some father counseling his daughter, saying, there is a boy out there that will stay with the Word. You do not have to take the first thing that comes along. You do not have to settle for these things of the world. I'm telling you, there's a woman out there, if you will wait on the Lord, the Lord will give you the right one.
That's right.
And it'll be a good one.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you the same thing for the wife. There's a man out there, there's somewhere that's listening to the counsel of the Lord, saying, Lord, I want a godly wife. I want a wife that'll be a mother for me. I want to be a wife that will be a wife to me. And he wants someone to look at you. You want that person? I'll tell you how to do it. You stand on the Word of God and do not let your standards down.
Right.
You wait on the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Lord will provide for you. I believe that with all my heart. You take God at His Word on that, God will give you the right one. But you jump ahead, you will be in a bad situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Still hate me or still love me? I tell you what, it's the truth. I'm telling you. We live in a day right now, it's so hard. I know. When you're young, you got the desires for that made out there. I understand that. You'll get that. But I tell you, you wait on the Lord. The Lord will give you the right one, and it'll be a blessing. And, you know, it's very important that, you know, as I don't know why I'm on this stage, but we're going to stay right here. As long as Eliezer, you know, he was told to go get one of the same lineage. Don't you get a different one. Don't you go of a different bloodline. You go down the same bloodline whenever you get Rebecca, when you go to get the wife for Isaac. You find the right one. I'm going to show you something. You think you can go out and find somebody of another faith of a denomination or something like that and think you're going to be okay? I'm telling you, you're wrong, because it does not line up with Scriptures.
That's right.
You need to find somebody in the faith. And the reason is, if you don't, when she goes to be mother, she's going to be trying to bear something else than what you want to produce.
Right.
She'll be trying to, rather than being your representing who you are and who your name is, they're going to represent what they want to represent. Amen. Because there's one head in the house. He's head of the house, and everybody under that house reflects who that husband is. The wife will reflect who that husband is, and the children will bear that. If you're in harmony, and the mom and the dad is in harmony in the faith, a house divided cannot stand. You take a husband and a wife, they're united in the faith, in that house, that's a strong house. And because the man says, this is the Word of God. This is what I stand for. And if she's a true mate, she'll say, amen, I believe it. I'm right behind you. And no matter what, do that, and the children will be blessed. You will be blessed. Your home will be blessed. But listen to me. You try to go another route, you will have turmoil in your life. Turmoil in your life. You will have having extra water in your blood. Imagine what would happen if you pumped extra water in your blood. It'd kill you.
Right.
And the
That's right. But you, if you wait on the Lord and let the Lord give you the right one, He will bless you. Amen. That's the thing about having a small church congregation, because it can sure feel like He's sticking His finger right in your face and saying, this is for you. It's not. Honestly, from my heart. This is not even on my notes, what I'm saying right now. It's from my heart. I'll give you the honest truth. And you got to remember, if that's true love, that's from the Lord. That's right.
Right.
I imagine that slave, at first he would think to himself, you know what, this is not a big deal. I'm under the bondage of Egypt, but he does not grasp the reality of what's taking place. I can imagine he could be in the pits and he's stomping the mud. In his mind, he's thinking, not a big deal. This is not that big of a situation. But he didn't realize until later on, he found out, I'm in a situation where I can't get out of it. And I'm bound. And God puts the desire in their heart to be free.
That's right.
God will put the pull in their heart to be free. And whenever they began to cry from their heart out, they kind of began, I imagine at first their desire wasn't to go seek God. I imagine the first time, I want to go fishing. You imagine being on a stomp pit and saying, you know what, I don't want to do this. I want to go fishing. I don't want to do this. I'd rather go do something else. I imagine at first, maybe it started out that way. But after a while, they said, you know what? I got a desire for God. You know why I can say that? Man can have ability to where he can go a few days without really seeking God for meat of a daily bread. He can go a few days without doing that because he can sustain on what he's got in his experience already. But that will only go so far. You see what I'm saying? I can rejoice over the joys of the things that's happened a few days ago. I can do that for a little while, but I can only do that for so long. There's going to come a point in my life where I'm going to have to meet the road and say, I've got to have fresh victory. I've got to come to a point where I've got to have fresh manna. I've got to have fresh experience with the Lord. I have testimonies that I've done before. Praise God for those. I feed on those every now and again, but I cannot survive on that alone. I need it today. I need victories today. I need fellowship with God today. Because if you keep going on yesterday's victory, it will only go so far. And the next thing you know, you're going to be out of steam. I can imagine that little guy in the mud pit, after a while, he realized, I've got to have God. Because I can't serve God anymore. And he was bound. As long as his motive to get out of that bondage was to go fishing, as long as getting out of that bondage was to go do something else, he sat right there in the mud pit. But once his motive for getting out of that mud pit was, I want to serve God.
Right.
God. That's all he needed to hear.
Yeah.
He was standing, he was waiting here, he knew, he was watching, because God puts the desire in their heart to do it in the first place anyway. God will watch them, and he knows their thoughts. He sees them in the mud pit. He says, boy, I wish I'd go fishing. Nope, wrong answer. Boy, I wish I could go camping. Nope, wrong answer. He could be in the mud pit crying, whining, whatever he wanted to. I wish I could go because I'd have to go do this. Wrong answer. Then all of a sudden he says, God, I miss God. I want to get out of this where I can serve God. I was like, that's all I needed to hear. We'll take care of this now. And then God will get you out. Have you ever noticed sometimes you could be bound in a situation and it seems like you can't get nowhere? I wonder sometimes it's because we're wanted out for the wrong reason. Brother Brennan talked about that a lot of times. He said, I'd be careful before I go and pray for somebody to get that off them, because many times the Lord will allow that thing to be on that person. He'll let that sickness come on that person because of a sin in their life. And he said, what if I go in there and pray and take that thing off of them? He said, then what kind of situation am I in? Sometimes sickness is because of sin. That's right. Not always, but I'm telling you, the first thing that you need to do when you have sickness comes over your body and you don't overcome it, search yourself. Say, Lord, forgive me. If there's something in my life, let me get out of the way. And once that's out of the way, then you can take God at His word and say, Lord, Your word says, by Your stripes I was healed. And you claim that victory right there. And you can stand steadfast. But if you've got sin in your life, sin in your heart, it'll weaken your experience. It'll weaken your faith. And you can sit right. And Satan has every right to stay right there as long as that's there. Is that true? As long as there's an unconfessed sin in there, he has a right to stay right there. Because the Lord will let you know about it. He'll deal with your heart on it to get it right. That's right. Amen. We need a shepherd. We need a God, and they needed a deliverer. Eventually, the bondage come to a point where from their heart, they wanted to be free.
And who knows how many days they went surviving on the reservoir of the past joy that they had in the Lord before they realized they need a present joy. They had past testimonies they could rejoice in, but now they needed a new present testimony. They had a past revival that they had, but now they need a new revival. And when they come to the point where they cried from their heart for a deliverer, God works on both ends, and God is still the workmanship. God's the one doing the work. God's the one that puts the desire in the heart to be delivered, and He allows Satan to do what he does until God's purpose is fulfilled. I want you to listen. Don't give Satan more credit than what he's due. He can only do what God allows him to do, and it is for a purpose. I think it's very important to remember this. Satan can't do nothing. Somebody says nothing. Satan can do nothing unless God allows it. And the only reason he's able to do that is God has got a purpose for that. And then once he's done with that purpose, he'll put him back on the shelf right where he belongs. And there ain't a thing he can do about it. You say amen? The devil is a powerless devil. There's nothing he can do. Let that sink in. There's nothing the devil can do unless God allows it. So how victorious can the church, the bride, be whenever we, the Satan, can do nothing unless God allows it? And it's only for a purpose. And then whenever we have the word, Brother Brim said that there'd be a day when we would have the word and we'd know what to do with the word. Amen. Brother Tony and I talked about this the other night. We're eating fish. And one of the best fellowships we had, fellowship and fish. You don't get much better than that. But you know, one of the things we're talking about, I mentioned Brother Tony. So you know Brother Tony? It reminds me of when a young couple is married. And when you're first married, you're fresh, and you see all these bills come up, and you're like, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay these bills? These needs are arising, and you panic. And then, of course, you have the first child, and you hear the first little cry, and you're like, oh my goodness, he's dying. And you want to get him to the doctor, and all of a sudden, that's perfectly normal. It's fine, he's just hungry. And what am I saying? You're jumpy at everything. You hear a certain cry, and everybody just stops what they're doing, and you run in there real fast because you hear the baby crying. But after a while, by experience, you hear that cry, and it's like, he just fell down. You hear that cry, and look, that's a fake cry. After a while, by experience, you begin to know how to handle the situation. Right. And that's what I'm talking about in a maturity of a husband and a wife. You come to a maturity to where you know how to handle the pressure. And I'm telling you what, and you know what to do under the pressure. Whereas before, we're like, oh my goodness, what do we do?
Yeah.
But it's experience. And I'm here to tell you, as a Christian, at first, we're nervous. These things happen to take place. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? The devil's coming up here. After a while, we're like, it's a fake cry. After a while, you know what to do with the word.
That's right.
By experience and by pressure. How many parents know what I'm about the pressure? That's right. By pressure. I can remember my wife and I would lay there with Elijah, just the baby. They didn't have this nice, they got these swings now. You put batteries in there. You can plug it in, and that thing will swing all by itself. That ain't fair.
No, it's not.
You know what we did? We had one of those, And then sitting there, it's like, golly. And he was fine, but I mastered it. I put him right beside the bed. I'd lay there, and I'd put my arm on it. He'd be right beside it, and I could listen for it to stop cranking, and without even hesitating, I could crank that thing completely, eyes closed, and that thing just keep swinging. And when you're so tired you can't sleep, you will figure out something. And I remember he was freshly out of the hospital, and him and he was fresh out of the oven, even little, and we stuck him in that swing to try to help him. And we checked his back, and right here is a big blue spot. And we thought, oh my goodness, we bruised him by putting him in the swing. We felt about that tall. Like, how could we do this? How could we? I don't think it was a swing. Maybe it's a car seat. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago. But he had the mark on his back. And we're like, oh my goodness, we bruised him. And we with hat in hand, went to the hospital, to the doctor, and said, I don't know what we did. They got this mark on his back, and we're expecting him to call the laws and do what he, and he said, it's just a birthmark. There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we didn't notice it before. But we felt terrible. But that's a perfect example of the pressure of learning how to handle those situations. I remember, as being a young parent, it was pressure in learning how to deal with the cries, deal with the bills that come through, because you'll find out eventually how the Lord will provide every time. Amen. It's like a little baby, speaking of them, is a little baby. He can't walk, he can't talk, so the only thing he knows how to do when he needs something is cry. And if there's ever been a boy that knew how to do that, it was my boy Elijah. That boy had a set of lungs on him that would just rock the whole house. But you know what? That baby has got a provided way to get what he needs. If he needs something, you can't tell him, here's a little bell, and little baby, you just ring this bell when you need something, and we'll give it to you. Or this is sign language. I want you to do this sign language. You can try that all you want to, it ain't going to work. God put a God-given, provided way inside him to get what he needed of, and that's cry. And I'm telling you what, everybody will know at some point that this baby needs something. At first, it'll be just the mama that hears it. Then it'll be the dad that hears it. And then it'll be everybody in the room that hears it. And I'm here to tell you, you can try to tell that child, be patient. We'll change your diaper. We'll give you your bottle in just a moment. Little Jimmy, just be patient. You think he's going to say, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. No problem. We got this. Take your time. No. You can be going down the road and you can say, there's no place for me to stop and feed you and give you a diaper change. We are going down the highway. There's nothing I can do for you. You think he's going to say, oh, no problem, Mom. Just take your time. No. Just like that guy in the mud pit. He starts crying, you know, help me out here. You know, it looks impossible, but let him start crying long enough. The Lord will hear it. You let that baby, you give him enough time. He's like, all right, you asked for it. He will really let go. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I don't care. We are going to find a place to feed this thing. We're stopping in, I don't care, we're in the desert. We're going to feed this baby. You know why? Because he is using his God-given, provided way, and that is screaming, and your ears are about to bust. And the thing about this, everybody knows when he got what he needed. You know why? He stops crying. Everyone's like, wow, he got it. You know what? That's what we need to do. When we have something, where we need something, we need to cry out for it. That's a God-given thing God has given us to where we can cry out to God and say, God, I need this. I need this revival in my heart, and I am not. I'm giving you the small cry right now. God, it's fixing to get real. You need to let me know what I have need of because I'm serious about this. I need to be fed. I need to be birthed. I need these things. Whatever your need is before God, you need to use your God-given thing that you have inside you where you can cry out to God from your heart. God will give it to you. But a lot of times I'm afraid the reason we don't get what we have need of is we don't cry out for it. You can try sign language because you don't want to offend somebody. You don't want someone to know that I'm really needing this. But you know what? The man that was blind, and he went to Brother Branham. Brother Branham prayed for him. The guy left, went through. And Brother Branham said, God bless you. You can see him. Or you're healed. He walked out. He can't see. He goes back to the prayer line. He says, Brother Branham, you said I was healed. I said, you told me you believe me. He said, well, I do. He said, well, testify about it. And that man, everywhere he go, he was just as blind as you could ever see. But everywhere he went, I said, praise God for healing me. Praise God for healing me. And he looked ridiculous. You think he was doing sign language? I'm saying because he didn't want to offend somebody, praise God and heal? No. He didn't care who said it. You know why? Because he valued seeing more than what anybody else thought of him. And that's the thing we've got to get to the point of. I value being healed more than what I care about what people think about me. I don't care if someone says, Brother Daniel's struggling with that. Who cares? I'm struggling. If I'm going through it, I'm struggling with it. I don't care who knows about it. I want victory. Say amen. You got to come to a point where you say, you know, I don't care who knows about it. I want people to know about it. If I'm struggling with it, I want you to know about it because I want you to pray about it because I want victory. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm putting you right in your tender patch. If you come to a point in your life when you feel like, you know what, I'm struggling with this thing and I'm too ashamed to even say I'm fighting this thing. You bring that before the Lord and the victory and you cry out to God and see if God will set you free from that thing. Amen.
Right.
That's right.
That's the one the devil likes to get you, is the one you don't, no one wants to talk about. It's the things that you hold inside of you, that you battle with it. I'm struggling with this. It's the thing that I fight. I don't know how to overcome it. When you cry out to God, God will deliver you from it. Amen. And I won't be much longer. I just got just a few more things I want to bring forth. We've got to come to the point where we don't worry about what the Methodists, the Baptists are watching us. If we're needing something, we can cry out to God, whether you're at work. You know, I'm going to give a testimony before the Lord. Something the Lord had done me. I've been there for a while. I had a cold, and it just really struggled. And you'd be surprised how much that can affect your thinking, is having a cold, because you don't smile. I don't feel like smiling. I've been blowing my nose nonstop. And I'm human. Yeah, man? How many humans we got in the building this morning? Okay, we got a few. There's a couple that's not yet, but we'll work on that. Meeting at the service. But you know what? If you're human, and you're going through state, and sometimes you're going to get a cold in your body. And when you're in a cold, and you're sneezing your head off, you're blowing your nose nonstop, every time you sit still, you feel like your head is just about to explode at any moment. How many of you feel like just walk around and saying, "Hello, everybody. Praise God. I'm on the mountaintop. Wonderful." You don't feel that way sometimes. Sometimes, because you're in the flesh, you're just trying to get through the day. You're just trying to go through the grind. You're trying to get the laundry done. You're trying to get the car sold. You're trying to get the motors tested. Whatever your day fulfills, you're just trying to get through the day. And I was going through this cold in my head. It's like every 5 seconds I was blowing my nose. I've had like four different people pull me to the side this week and said, "Look, Daniel," said, "we want to, is everything okay with you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think so. Everything's fine, yeah." I said, "You're used to smiling, you're laughing, you're singing." You know, I said, "You just have not been doing that in the last few days." I said, "Well, I'm just fighting the cold." I said, "Well, I knew something was wrong." And I said, "Warm a prayer for you." "Well, I appreciate that." And going down the road, literally at four or five different times, people have pulled me to the side and said, "But Daniel, you're not smiling. What's going on?" And I say that is because people are watching you when you don't think they're watching.
That's right.
I had no idea these people were watching me. But they see me and said, you've gone like 3 or 4 days here lately, but Daniel, you ain't been, something's going wrong. Is there something that we can help you with? You take this away, you take it away. I say that because people are watching you in the way you conduct yourself. And it's when you're on the mountaintop, and it's when you're in the valley. People are watching you. And the major test is when you're in the valley. So now every time I come through there, if I see those people that ask me, I will make myself smile. I'll smile. That's what I like to see. Because they're used to seeing me upbeat. And you don't have to be like me. But you be the best you that you can be. Amen? I'm shout. I rejoice in the songs. Whatever it is, I'm pretty enthusiastic. I'm gung-ho. I'm either 100% in or I'm 100% out. There's really no mediocre in me. Ask my wife about fishing. I'm 100% in. 100% in. I go all the way in. She woke me up the other morning. I woke up probably 4 in the morning. I woke up and I couldn't sleep. So I studied already at rate. I couldn't sleep. So I just pulled my tablet over and I pulled up a fishing video, and I put it on quiet, and I was watching this fish, and they're doing it, and all of a sudden I heard, "You gotta be kidding me." She said, "You're not even doing it in your sleep." I said, "Well, I can't go. I may as well watch somebody." I'm 100% or 100% out. I don't want to be middle nothing. And you know what? The Lord's the same way. He don't want lukewarm. He don't want cold. He'd rather have cold or hot. And trust me, he'd rather have you hot.
That's right.
Don't be mediocre. If you feel like you're mediocre, you say, "Brother Daniel, what can I do? What can I do to get on fire?" You know what you can do? Metal to metal. That's right. You know what happens? You take metal to metal. What happens with metal to metal? It gets hot. And it sharpens one another. A lot of times, that's what we need. We need fellowship. Where you can talk to one brothers and sisters, or true fellowship, where you can mediocre and talk about your experiences with the Lord. Not just being together. Just being together, talking about pizza, and talking about football. That's a part of fellowship. But you got to get into the meat of the fellowship. Because you can talk about pizza and football with anybody. But whenever you're talking about fellowship with a believer, that's a different kind of meeting.
Right.
That's right. It's a different kind of fellowship, and that's what we got to get to. I promise you, just a couple more minutes, and we'll be done here. God, the thing I want you to lead with is you've got to use God's provided way. And this is a quote, Brother Brenham. No, let's just go through this. Now, many of you that want to put down this word, the Greek word, pass away, it comes from the word, I had to find it. I thought, how is this world going to pass away? Talk about heaven and earth will pass away, but my world will never pass away. That's what he's talking about. How is this world going to pass away, and yet we're going to live on it? But, if you'll notice, some of you people that wants to put it down, I'll spell it for you. I couldn't pronounce it. P-A-R-E-R-E-C-H-O-M-I-A. I don't know how to pronounce it. Now that way, as I said, when I get the inspiration strikes me for something, then I go back and find out the word. Now here I can't spell the word, I can't pronounce it, but in that the Lord still give me a way. I go and find that word and see what it means, you see. Now heaven and earth will pass away. Now this word means passing from one form to another. It does not mean annihilation. As the English word would mean pass away, it's annihilated. But the Hebrew word, or the Greek word here, does not mean pass away. It means passing from one thing to another. Look, but to pass from one condition, it says to another. Now notice Paul used it. If you want to read it now, put it down. You can read it later in Titus 3:5. Paul is using the same word, means regeneration of man. That man has passed from a sinner to a saint, not completely annihilated. When a man is changed, he isn't annihilated, but he's a changed person. He has been changed from what he was to what he is, not annihilated. Jesus used the same word in Matthew 19:28. Now, not 28:19. Now, it's 19:28. He said, you'll sit with me in my Father's kingdom, regenerated, you see, changed. When you were changed, he used the same word. And he used the same word when he said to the colt, said, loose the colt and let him go. Said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him. Change him. He's been tied. Let him go. What does it mean? The earth will be loosed from the grip of Satan. It will be loosed. It'll be loosed from politics. It'll be loosed from denominational religious systems. To be used for the kingdom of God. To be established it here on earth, but as long as it's in the hands of Satan, politics, Satan, the ruler of the earth, he owns it. It belonged to him, but now Christ has redeemed it. One time, I was his property, but not now. One time, that little woman was his property, but not now. See, he came to loose the grip of it. He loosed the grip of sin, of Satan, upon my life. Upon your life, and now we're not his. I want you. This is the part I want to get to. Have you often heard me say in prayer, take your hands off of God's property? See, amen. Have faith to claim your own. And that's what I want you to capitalize on. Have faith to claim your own. That's your rights. Take your hands off her. Take your hands off of him. See, faith will do it. Oh my, not annihilate it, but just take your hands off of it. To loose it. Let it go. Pass it away. It changes. The earth will change. Politics will change. The religions will change. Denominations will pass away. Politics will pass away. But the kingdom of God shall be established. We have the right to claim our own. Claim your own what, Brother Daniel? Claim your own peace. Claim your own joy. Claim your own healing. You have a right to claim it. Why do you have to have a right? Because that means Satan's going to try to take it away from you. And you have a right to claim what's yours. God has given you victory. You have a right to claim it.
Satan cannot rob you of your salvation, but he can rob you of your joy of your salvation. And you can claim it back. You can say, Lord, I want my salvation. I want the joy of my salvation back. I want the joy of being a Christian back. I'm not going to try to present to you that you can live a life to where you will always be happy all the time. Because that's not true. In this flesh, you're going to fight battles. In this flesh, you're going to have a cold. I would love to tell you, you're never going to have another cold again. When you give your heart to the Lord right now, or when you give your heart to the Lord, you're never going to fight another battle again. You're going to be so victorious, the devil's completely 100% bound 100% of the time, and you'll never have another battle in your life, out of your mind. What I will tell you is you have got a target on your back, officially. You've got a bullseye on your back, because you are now in the elite of the elite. But I am going to equip you with everything that you need to face every challenge you'll ever get. But that don't come from Brother Dan. And that don't come from Brother Tony. That comes from Almighty God. He will equip you with everything that you have, but you can claim whatever God has given you in this world. You can claim it. If you want joy back, you can't claim it back. Now, does that mean you'll go a season without it? You will go through a season without it. Brother Tony, is that right? You didn't think that man goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where he's absolutely feeling like he's on the mountaintop? No. Because you know why? He's a man. And he's in the trenches, just like you and I are. But the man knows how to go the provided way to get what he has need of. And then just cry out to God and say, God, thank you. You are my redeemer. Thank you. You are my source of strength. Thank you. And I'm going to show you something here. It's real easy to get your eyes off of God and start looking at the problems. It's really easy to start focusing on the trials rather than looking at God. But you've got to start telling that devil how big your storm and how big God is. Amen. Amen? That's where you've got to quit looking at the trials and look at God and say, this is what God said I can have. I'm claiming it. Amen. I got a testimony I'll show you. And my wife and I, we had this debt at this point. And we said, I want to pay this off. And it's a bondage. And we were going, it seemed like every month, every year, we were fighting this bondage. And we could not get over this thing. And we was like, how do I overcome this thing? Because it seems like every time you try to pay it off, it's like you're taking 5 steps back. I'll tell you what it was. I mean, we were young, freshly married. Remember I was talking about the bills, you get the pressure? They got this little thing called payday, paycheck advance places. And it's a loan shark, is what it is. Mm-hmm. You'll go there, and they'll give you a paycheck, your paycheck early, and then you got to pay it back the following week on a Friday. But then when you go to pay it back, it's with so much huge interest that guess what you have to do? You have to do it again. So then you're not 1 week, you're 2 weeks. And then when you're like, I'm going to work all this overtime, I'm going to try to get overcome it, and then you're 3 weeks. And the next thing you know, you're 4 weeks down the road, and you're so hooked in this payday advance that if I would have just come up with the money and paid my bill off, I've been beyond it already. But I was stuck in the middle of this thing. And I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. We have got to get out of this thing. And I just want to tell you, wait on the Lord. When it comes to your finances, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord will provide. And what it was for me, I tell you from my experience, I jumped too soon. Rather than waiting on the Lord, I jumped into it and said, I have to do this. I'm telling you, God will meet your needs. God will provide your needs, but you have to be a good steward over what God's given you. And me and my wife, we got to the point, and we said, you know what, we have got to take this Bible. We have got to, this Bible says that He will meet our needs. And I'm testimony. My wife and I, we sat down, and we think about this place. Every time we come to church, we think about this place. Because you know what I'm talking about. When you're going right over the hill, before you get the stop, there's a little shopping place there on the right. That's where it was. That was the place. My wife and I, we come to a point where we said, we've got to be out of this bondage. We cannot keep doing this. And we got before God, and we really seriously took God at His word and said, Lord, I don't feel any kind of emotion at all. I don't feel any kind of Holy Ghost bumps. I don't feel any kind of anything. But I have got this need, God, and I cannot do this anymore. And we began to really pour out our heart before God. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord provided for us to not only get out of it, to get out of it well. That's right.
And I'm talking, we were going week after week after week trying to get out of this thing. And we've come to a point where we were too ashamed to ask anybody in church. We wouldn't want to tell anybody. I said, her, don't you ever talk about our finances. Very prideful man, I guess you could say. I said, don't you tell anyone that what we're going through. She said, well, maybe we should ask for it. No, you will not do that. We will wait, and the Lord will provide for us. And I'm telling you what, I took God and His Word from this Bible. I can testify to you that God got us out of that. So if you ever find yourself in a point, sometimes, the reason I say that, listen to me now, sometimes you'll come to a point where it feels like it's a shameful thing that you're bound by. Shameful. To where I mean shameful, you don't want to tell anybody about it. That's how shameful it feels. God can deliver you from that. And sometimes it's talk with your brother or sister of like precious faith. And you can confess your faults. I need victory in this thing. And let them pray with you and join your this together. Yeah. Let's pray, Tony. Come forward. I know this is definitely not a fireball service. I apologize. But I do believe I delivered what the Lord laid on my heart. Claim your own. You claim the victory that's in your life. You claim the victory that God has put in you. You say, you know what? I want more joy in my life. You claim it. You go through life. It could be as simple. And how many knows this? You could be as simple as being at lunch and you sit down and you ain't had joy all day. And you say, Lord, please give me some joy back in my life. Give me some joy today. And the next thing you know, in just a few hours, something simple might happen. And all of a sudden you're laughing and you got the joy again. That's right. It's the simple thing. God is mindful of the simple things. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tony. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Amen. You believe it? I do. It's nothing like somebody knows what they're talking about. And the person who knows what they're talking about is usually someone who's actually been there and lived it. I always thought it was strange. And not to pick on young people or anything like that, but it always seems strange to me that you can verbally tell someone something, whether it's kids or coworkers or whatever, and verbally tell them, but they just can't get it. Mm-hmm. They have to go live it themselves, and then they come back with scars, but then they know.
Yeah.
I had a guy working for me one time. And we have this piece of equipment that works, a calibrator, multifunction calibrator. The one at the time cost, I think, $41,000. I can carry it in my arms, pretty heavy, but. And this fellow was calibrating, and he was having to go a long way to do something. These little thermocouple devices to measure temperature, and he was having to calibrate the instrument that read these thermocouples, and there were several different channels he could read. Like eight of them at a time. He had to hook them up separately and do them one at a time. And he said to me, he said, why can't I just gang all these together, you know, and basically minimize hookup time and all that? And I said, I can't do that. He didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So before the day was out, he had to come to me and tell me that he had destroyed calibrator. We had to send it in for repair, and of course once you have to repair it, you have to recalibrate it at the place where so it was on the order for about $5,500 because he didn't listen.
Yeah.
But you know what? He never made that mistake ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Strange, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
So, smart man.
Right.
But he just, you know, just didn't get it. And but so, you know, sometimes we're like that. Seems like we just have to live it, I guess, before we know what Brother Daniel was talking about, that spider. Yeah, I did those things too, brother. But I guess every little boy did.
Yeah.
Right? Ben's like, oh, no. But you know, I couldn't do that now.
No.
I couldn't. But the way he presented that, I thought was so, it touched my heart, Brother Daniel, because I, it kind of goes with the discussion my Aunt Mary and I and Brother Richard had this morning. You know, slavery, you got this master over you, And you're no good to him. If he has you, if you're a slave, he has you so that he can get gain from you. You can build his empire. You can work his crops. You can do whatever. And that's why he has you there. And so you're no good to him if you can't provide him what he's looking for. So he'll take care of you enough that you can provide him what he wants from you.
Right.
But he won't give you enough so you can set yourself free.
Right.
That's the way it works. Mm-hmm. That's the way this present-day monetary system that this whole world operates off of, it was created by men. And the only, because I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know, most people just go from paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. Because it was designed to be that way. A system of men who control the world, who extract the wealth and resources of every person they can. They don't kill them. They got to leave them, let them have just enough to make them think they're happy, make them think everything's so just fine. But and so they can draw wealth from them and draw resources from them and become richer and richer and richer. So they got to give them enough so they can do that. But they'll never let you have enough that you can totally become free from their system.
That's right.
That's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the devil being fleshed out in human beings today. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way all through time. I have no desire to have someone subject to me and to me to draw benefits from them, but they're not willing and happily in a relationship. See what I'm saying?
Right.
I would never want to force my wife to be my wife.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. I'm just not going to do it, see? Or any other woman, right? I'm not going to force anybody to be my friend. I'm not going to force anybody to sit and listen to me minister.
Right.
See? If there's not an attraction and a thing there that works like that, see? Because I don't have it in me to be a tyrant and to have people like that. But I got Christ in me. See what I'm saying? But there's plenty of people out there, most of them, that what they have in them is the other side. It will take advantage. It will do great gain
right. At
the expense of other people just so it can have more power. Mm-hmm. See? So politics comes into place where they make you think that they're a good person, make you think they're all about you. When in reality, they're lying to you, and behind the scenes, they're making you that much more a slave so they can be rich.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. And so that's what Satan does. He lies to you. Mm-hmm. He makes you think that it's okay to look at that girl that you know you shouldn't be.
Right.
He makes you think it's okay to pursue after this friendship with buddies or whatever. See, and you know, young people, as parents, we were young once. We're not ignorant of the way things work. And many times our young people will do things and think we don't know about it, and we do.
Right.
Simply because we were there, we tried the stunts, we went through those things, and now with the Holy Ghost, we understand a whole lot more than what you think, see? And so, but that's the way Satan is. He wants to get you in a place by telling you, oh, this is so good, this is great, this is where you need it, and you believe it. And behind the scenes, he's being edified, and you're in bondage. And he won't let you free. He won't give you. Have you ever had Satan come to you and say, now you get out and pray every morning?
No.
He don't do that. But I'll tell you what he does do. Don't pray. Grab your phone and look at Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he'll do.
That's right.
And he won't just subtly do that. He will hound you hard every day. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you, it's okay, go out there and click on that other link, that link you stumbled across one. Go visit that site again.
Uh-huh.
You know what he's doing? He's got you wrapped up and bound, and he's coming down there, and he's drawing a little life from you.
That's right.
You draw a little life. Click on that link one more time. Mm-hmm. Nobody will know. Gossip just a little, talk about somebody else. And every time we surrender to him that way, he's getting strengthened and edified.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. That's the way it all works. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not like that. Amen. His benefits are free. And he doesn't. What you see is what you get. But you got to say no to these other things. And so Brother Daniel's talking about that. I was just thinking about that spider. And that's exactly how it is. Satan just comes down and visits you, using you for his own thing. Brother Daniel's talking about a good wife, and he's talking about water and the blood. Your blood is made in such a way to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to water it down, it can't do that.
Right.
It can't carry the waste away and bring nutrients to the cells. It can't do that. And that's what it, because he's right. You marry a woman that doesn't believe the way you do, and when them kids start coming along, guess who those kids spend all their time with? Mm-hmm. Guess who gets to have them first?
Right.
Mama. And if she's not in tune with you, she'll take them kids another direction, and you'll just have to stand back and watch it.
That's right.
See, it's best to work these things out up front, mm-hmm. instead of getting into the place where you're already hooked up and can't do nothing about it. Brother Daniel talked about, I just wrote down several things. He talked somewhere a long way talking about, I believe, bread of life. I was telling my wife yesterday, since I'm doing this keto thing again, and you know, I had eggs and bacon for breakfast, but no bread. I like eggs, and I like bacon, but I really had a hard time eating without bread. It's hard to eat without bread, and I was thinking about that. God wants us to have the bread of life.
Yep.
And here's what I was thinking while I was looking at that, and I realized, you know what? You know, we can do a lot of things in life. We can go fish. There's a strength we draw from that. We can go hunt. We can go work. We can fellowship with our families. We can do all these things. But if you're a Christian, that ain't satisfying unless you can also take bread of life.
That's right.
You got to have the bread of life to go along with everything else you do.
That's right.
And that's right. We want the bread of life. A Christian knows that. Brother, I'm just reading off the things I'd written down here. One time I was listening to Brother Lonnie Jenkins, and I think Brother Daniel was talking about our desires and what we want. Mm-hmm. And so Brother Lonnie Jenkins was talking. He said there was a man that was sick, and he had went to the man and was talking to him, and I guess the man had given his heart to the Lord or something. I don't remember the details, but the point Brother Lonnie was pointing out on this was the man wanted to be healed, and he said, "Oh, you know, pray for me. And so Brother Lonnie asked the man, because Brother Lonnie felt like that if the man had the right motives, the right objective, the right thing that he wanted to do, he believed God would heal the man. Mm-hmm. And so he went to the man. He said, "What do you want to do if the Lord heals you? Why do you want the Lord to heal you?" And the man had been a rancher, had horses, trained horses, and worked with horses. And when Brother Lonnie asked him, he said, "Well, I'd like to get back among my horses. I'd like to be able to get back out and, you know, go back to his..." And, you know, of course, Brother Lonnie's heart just sunk, mm-hmm. because the man, he wasn't wanting to serve God.
Right.
He wasn't wanting the Lord to heal him so he could go out and express that to the people. And so, so it does matter. And I was thinking a while ago, whenever he's talking about the kids, and that's so funny, you know, Brother Daniel has some really funny stories, but we all can relate to them, you know. And so he's talking about kids and trying to pacify them. And, you know, I know you know this, when a child gets hungry sometimes, we've all done this. They get hungry, and you know really what they need is food or a bottle, or they need their diaper change. They have a certain need, but we have something what we call a pacifier.
Right?
And sometimes you go over and you give that pacifier, and it'll pacify that child for a little while.
Yeah.
But you see, what the child needs is not the pacifier.
Right.
So the pacifier is just a false thing, a false satisfaction. But after a while, that won't work anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? Because all that child is doing is just has its God-provided way to cry out to get what it wants. And you know what? If it cries out enough, you're going to listen as parents. That child is going to get your attention. And I don't know if that's what you caught a while ago, but that's what Brother Ian talking about. Mm-hmm. You can get God's attention.
Yep.
Because if you keep crying out, he's going to get tired of hearing it.
Right.
I'm saying that in a funny way. Yep. He's going to get tired of hearing it, and he's going to come and answer. And he's not going to give you a pacifier. He's going to give you what it is that you have need of.
Yep.
Right? But you know what? If you need a certain thing from God and you're letting something else pacify you, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until you realize, uh-oh, this isn't what I need.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you can sometimes, when my kids, it comes supper time, my kid's like, well, I'm not hungry. I'm like, okay, you've been eating something. You've been snacking on something. Why are they not hungry? Because it's natural for you to come hungry. And it's natural for a person, a Christian, to want God and to want to come to church, to want to do. And so when church time comes along and you want to go do something else, you've been feeding on something else.
That's right.
See, these are principles that Bushmen in Africa could understand if you could speak their language and say it to them. It's not rocket science. And if something doesn't work, you need to find something that does, see? And so these are cut and dry. If you don't eat and you don't drink, you'll die.
Right.
If you don't fellowship with your mate, they're going to leave you.
Right.
It's just that's the way it is. Yeah. And so we want to have this relationship with the Lord, and we gotta apply these principles. And so you cry out to Him, and God will tell you. If you got something wrong, as Brother Daniel said about a while ago, sometimes sickness because of sin or whatever. But if you cry out and you get sincere before God and talk to Him, He'll tell you what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm saying that because think of His character. Do you think that He's the kind of being that would condemn you and all those things but not tell you what's wrong and not try to help you out?
No.
He will help you out, but you've got to surrender. And so what happens is we have something come along, and when we finally get oriented and realize I need to talk to God about this, but we talk to Him, but we're still being pacified with something else. Mm-hmm. And we're just going through the motions.
Right.
But when you finally, the day you seek God with all your heart, that's the day you find Him. When you finally cry out and say, God, I'm desperate. You've got to fix this problem in my life. And then some little small still voice in the back says, remember you did such and such? And you get up and walk away instead of listening to Him.
Mm-hmm.
He will tell you what you need to do. He won't leave you hanging. Right?
Yeah.
Cut and dry. He will do it.
That's right.
And so, you know, it is kind of funny. Parents can look back on the things whenever they having children and not knowing things. And, you know, I was kind of chuckling about the birthmark. So, it's a good thing you didn't try to hide it or something like that. You know, but, amen. And I guess one more thing I wanted to say is Sister Hannah, Brother Daniel said that he wanted to, that he could listen every day of the week or something like that. And he said twice on Sunday. He said, so you're going to have to sing that song to him again sometime today before today's out.
Yeah.
Amen. It's wonderful to see gifts of God and watch those gifts develop. Amen. It's wonderful. So I mean, enjoy what the Lord brought for us this morning. Yes, it was good. It's always good. You can always feast on something the Lord has for you when he speaks. We come in here and we believe that He's a great shepherd. And Brother Daniel and I, we're just carrying out what we believe God has gifted us to do. We do our part, but it's really the great shepherd that comes down and works through us.
Yeah.
And we believe that. And I don't come here thinking, bless God, watch this. I'm going to go in there and tell Him. That's not it.
No.
I'm in there saying, God, I'm going in there. You got to speak through me.
That's right.
And that's you know, and so we know that He's the great shepherd. We believe that He hears us, and we just commit ourselves to Him. Let's find a song to sing as we get ready to go. If you love the Lord, appreciate what He gave to us, we'll sing I Love Him. Again, as we get ready to go. It's getting cold outside. Oh, I love Him. everyone be praying. I just, the Lord would just guide Brother Daniel and I on this trip we're supposed to be planning coming up here. And, just praying that the Lord, I don't want to do anything that the Lord would not want done. And I have no prestigious something or other. I just want to do what he would want. And if I can be a help, and we can be a help there, and going to Mexico and having some meetings there, we certainly want to do that. But then, in, you know, I'm not, I don't want to just take up somebody's time and just use resources for anything. I just want to do what the Lord would want. So I ask that you pray for both of us to be gone. At the same time, we have to find someone that could cover for us while we're away, someone to minister. So I realize that some churches, when they get in a situation like that, they just play a tape or something like that, which I'm not opposed to that, but only if that's only if that means that we just don't have someone else that we can call in. And you know, you, there's certain ministers and types of ministries that you wouldn't call in when you're gone, you know. So that may sound funny, but or weird, but it's Brother Daniel knows what I'm talking about, and I think you do too. So anyway, just pray that the Lord will guide us in that, and then we'll be looking forward to being back with you again next week. Amen. So God bless you. We'll sing this as you're dismissed. Oh, I love you. I love you. Before